Welcome to Speaking of Soy, a discussion about soy and human health, sponsored by the Soy Connection Health and Nutrition Newsletter and the United Soybean Board. Today's program focuses on fatty acids and coronary heart disease. Our guest today is Dr. Bruce Griffin, Professor of Nutritional Metabolism at the University of Surrey in the United Kingdom. Dr. Griffin wrote an article on this topic, which appeared in the Volume 24, Number 1 issue of the Soy Connection newsletter. Dr. Griffin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
In America, replacing dietary saturated fat with polyunsaturated fat has been the mainstay of dietary guidelines for reducing the risk of coronary heart disease for over 30 years. However, recently, the validity of these guidelines has been challenged. Why is this?
Well, this is mainly because of the outcome of some studies known as meta-analyses. These are very large studies that pull together the results of a number of different types of research studies and try to, in this case, look for a direct relationship between the intake of saturated fat, dietary saturated fat, and cardiovascular disease, death, dying from that's coronary heart disease and stroke in particular. And they haven't been able to demonstrate a relationship between the intake of saturated fat and death from cardiovascular diseases. There is an explanation. In fact, there are many explanations as to why that's the case. Firstly, the relationship between saturated fat and cardiovascular disease, the development of cardiovascular disease and dying from cardiovascular disease, isn't a direct relationship. And it's largely mediated through the effect of saturated fat on a very well-established risk factor for cardiovascular disease, that of blood cholesterol. But it's not a direct relationship, but it's a three-way relationship in that saturated fat raises blood cholesterol, and it's the raised blood cholesterol that causes increased cardiovascular disease risk and increased cardiovascular disease death. If you go looking for a direct relationship between saturated fat and cardiovascular disease death, you're unlikely to find it because it's a very complex relationship. It's certainly largely mediated through blood cholesterol.
Have we been overestimating the importance of the replacement of saturated with polyunsaturated fat?
I don't think so. In the United States, last year in 2015, your Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee recommended that there should be no higher intake than 10% of calories from saturated fat. Likewise, in Europe and in the UK, we have a science committee that advises our government, and we concurred with that as a threshold level for the intake of saturated fat. In the United States, you recommend replacing saturated fat with polyunsaturated fat, and it's well established that that can actually bring about reductions in cardiovascular disease risk, and in particular, death from coronary heart disease. So I don't think so. We still have a lot to learn about the relationship between dietary saturated fat and cardiovascular disease, and indeed the effect of saturated fat on blood cholesterol. But it isn't that straightforward. But the guidelines that we have in place from last year are still very much valid. And we in the UK, for example, are consuming slightly more than the recommended intake of saturated fat, as you are in the United States. And we need to reduce that by a small amount to reduce the reduction in risk of coronary disease.
In your article, you point out that studies can find no direct relationship between saturated fat and coronary heart disease for a couple of reasons. Point out what they are.
There are a few reasons. These large studies that I mentioned at the beginning called the meta-analyses that try to establish a direct relationship between the intake of dietary saturated fat and cardiovascular disease, they don't take account of a number of very important factors with respect to how saturated fat impacts on blood cholesterol. And the first issue really is that of substitution. Now, this really relates to not the effect of saturated fat on its own. It's really what it's replaced with that's important. It's what you substitute saturated fat with when you remove it. And the effect that you get on blood cholesterol is really determined by what you replace it with, and whether that's polyunsaturated fat or monounsaturated fat or carbohydrate. Now, we know very well that replacing saturated fat in our diet with polyunsaturated fats produces the most effective lowering of blood cholesterol. But these meta-analyses don't take any account of that this issue of substitution. The second reason is that they really don't take account of the source of the saturated fat and the different types of foods that saturated fat is actually sourced from and derived from. And we now beginning to understand that the nature of the food that the saturated fat is actually eaten and with is very important in terms of determining its effect on blood cholesterol. For example, dairy foods in particular are rich sources of saturated fat, but a number of dairy products, fermented dairy products, have minimal effect on blood cholesterol. And we're not sure why, but we think it's because it's the other components in those foods that actually reduce the availability of the saturated fats to our body. They're actually excreted. So, for example, if you compare butter with the saturated fat in butter with the saturated fat in cheese, the saturated fat in butter has a much more hypercholesterolemic or cholesterol-raising effect on blood cholesterol than the saturated fat in cheese, primarily because other components in the cheese, like its calcium perhaps, help us to remove saturated fat from the body, so we don't see that cholesterol-raising effect with foods like cheese as we do with foods such as butter. The type of food that the saturated fat is coming from is critical, and it's another factor that is not considered by these meta-analyses. There's one more, and that's the fact that not all saturated fats are in fact the same. There are a number of different types of saturated fats, and some are more cholesterol-raising than others. Again, it's a third factor that the meta-analysis don't take into consideration. So those are just some of the reasons why there is no direct relationship between saturated fat and coronary heart disease.
Adding polyunsaturated fat to the diet, especially from linoleic acid plant sources like soy oil, has been the most effective substitute for saturated fats in lowering LDL cholesterol and coronary heart disease risk. Why is that?
Well, there are a number of possible explanations. One of the most favored sort of explanations is the mechanisms of action of these different fatty acids, the polyunsaturates, from, say, the monounsaturates. Again, it depends on what you're replacing saturated fat with. In terms of polyunsaturates, that seems to be the most effective in lowering, certainly from plant sources like soy, seems to be the most effective in lowering blood cholesterol. We believe that that may be to do with how the cells in our body absorb cholesterol from the blood. And polyunsaturated fat seems to be the most effective dietary fat for promoting the uptake of cholesterol from the blood into the cells of our body, effectively lowering cholesterol. It seems to be more effective than monounsaturated fats and more effective than when you add in carbohydrate or replace saturated fat with carbohydrate. So of the three possible substitutes of saturated fat, the PUFA, say from plant sources, and MUFA, and carbohydrates, it's the polyunsaturates that seem to be the most effective in regulating the uptake of cholesterol from our blood. And this is why we see a greater reduction in blood cholesterol levels when we replace saturates with polyunsaturated fat.
Discuss some of the therapeutic diet and lifestyle changes the American Dietary Guideline Advisory Panel suggests for reducing serum LDL cholesterol.
Well, we have what's called a portfolio diet, which includes a number of different components that we can introduce into our diet and lifestyle for reducing blood cholesterol and specifically low-density lipoprotein cholesterol in our blood. I think a priority if you are overweight is to try to promote weight loss and to lose weight over a period of time. Now, that can achieve that via a number of ways, by effectively eating less, reducing your portion size, eating a diet of lower energy density, reducing snacking on high energy density foods, or changing your lifestyle in ways that affect your appetite, hunger, and satiety, in ways that reduce your appetite and hunger and increase your satiety. That's the feelings of fullness. And there are a number of ways we can do that. There are changes to when we eat, not just what we eat, but the time of day that we eat. Energy loading earlier in the day is thought to have an impact on our appetite and our hunger. And also the amount of sleep that you get, we believe, can actually impact on your appetite. So these are some factors, lifestyle factors, that can help you facilitate weight loss. When it comes to modifying the actual diet, going back to the type of fat that we eat, replacing saturated fatty acids with polyunsaturated fatty acids is a very important priority for reducing blood cholesterol. In addition to that, we need to reduce intake of things called trans fatty acids, These are the industrial produced saturates, if you want to call them that, that have a cholesterol raising effect. We need to reduce the intake of those, the hydrogenated oils. And above and beyond that, we can add in things like soy, which is very effective in lowering LDL cholesterol. Plant sterols and stanols, these phytosterols, are also quite effective in lowering blood cholesterol, LDL cholesterol. And I think quite important too is to increase our intake of dietary fiber. Both in the United States and the United Kingdom, we have recommendations to increase our intake of dietary fiber. Those are the carbohydrates that are not absorbed and don't provide us with energy so much. They're fermented by the bacteria in our gut. And these come in soluble and insoluble forms. And the soluble fibers in particular, things like beta-glucans that we get from oats and barley, that are quite effective in lowering LDL cholesterol. So getting more fiber, I think, is critical as well, both soluble and insoluble fiber. There are just several components to the recommendations that you have for lowering blood cholesterol.
As an expert on the topic, when you discuss fatty acids and the effect on coronary heart disease, what is your essential message?
Well, I think a lot of the media and the general public believe that we're trying to promote low-fat diets. We're not trying to promote low-fat diets to prevent cardiovascular disease and risk of coronary heart disease. Dietary fat is essential for life, and the important message is really you've got to consume fat, but you've got to consume the right types of fat. You've got to reduce your saturated fat intake and replace that with polyunsaturates or monounsaturates. Eat less trans fatty acids. So reducing the total quantity of fat, if it's high, is a recommendation, but we're not advocating low-fat diets here. Beside that, you've got to think about altering the quality of the fat that you consume. Again, that's to do with replacing saturated fat chiefly with polyunsaturates, but also consuming more of the omega-3 fatty acids that we obtain from plant sources and from seafoods, the longer chain omega-3 fatty acids that have been shown to be cardioprotective and prevent sudden cardiac death. And I think eating more oily fish and certainly omega-3s from plant sources is also important. So there's a message there in changing. If you're consuming a very high-fat diet, you want to get that down to recommended levels, but also change the quality of the type of fat that you're eating.
Dr. Bruce Griffin, Professor of Nutritional Metabolism at the University of Surrey, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
No, that's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Speaking of soy, a discussion about soy and human health has been brought to you by the Soy Connection Health and Nutrition Newsletter and the United Soybean Board. You can find more on this topic in the Volume 24, Number 1 issue of the Soy Connection Newsletter. Visit the Newsletters and Tools section at soyconnection.com.